Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Psalm starts with, says there, the title there, "Make Your Face Shine Upon Us," to the choir master with string instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us, Selah, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among the nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Well, I want to ask you, why does an orphan care ministry like Bethesda exist? What is the motivation behind caring for the orphan and the vulnerable child? I mean, why do we do what we do? If you think about it, what would make a family, like some of the Bethesda families, dedicate their life to become house parents and take in six, sometimes eight children with their own biological children and care for those children for their lives? I mean, what would make a family do that? I mean, do you know how many lunch boxes that is to pack? Okay, what would make someone do that? What would make a family be willing to adopt? What would make a family be willing to foster and bring a child into their family and then not knowing whether they might go through that grieving process maybe in the future when that child is reunited with a family member? What would make someone do that? What would make someone sacrifice their time, their comfort, their money to adopt or foster a child, not knowing what the future might hold for them or for that child? What would make someone become a lifelong donor to Bethesda, like some of the donors that we do have at Bethesda? Well, ultimately, it is this psalm this morning. You see, we are having a bit of an orphan Sunday focus, and one of our elders, Tim, preached at the Hill campus. That's our other campus in Pretoria East, and Tim himself is an adoptive parent. And we just had our board meetings and our Bethesda celebrations, and it was just a great day yesterday. But we celebrated 25 years of God's faithfulness in caring for orphaned and vulnerable children, but it is through His church. You see, God cares for the orphan and the vulnerable, but He does it through His church. And when I asked him what he was going to preach on, he said he was going to preach on James 1, 22 to 27. But ultimately that we are the answer for the orphan. We are the answer. And we've seen it, God's faithfulness in caring for the orphan and the vulnerable, but through the church. And I believe this psalm is fitting for us this morning as a church to encourage us to continue the work. Now this psalm will show us the motivation. The motivation, not just behind missions, but also the motivation behind orphan care. What motivates orphan care? Now, just a bit of to explain this psalm. When you read this psalm, Psalm 67, it is this psalm or this song, the way that this psalm is structured is in a chiastic structure, okay? For those who know that, okay? I don't know too much about that, but I can see some people smiling. But how this psalm is structured, it is A, B, C, B, A. Okay, let me make it a little bit more plain. How this psalm is structured is that the main idea of this psalm is right in the middle, okay? Almost like a nice beef patty, okay? In the middle of the burger. And then you've got the two cheeses on the side, and then you've got the two buns on the side, okay? But the main idea of this psalm is right in the middle, squashed in the middle. And then you've got the two cheeses and the two buns, okay? But firstly, let's look at the two buns on the side, okay? That's verses 1 and 2 and verses 6 and 7. If you look at verses 1 and 2 and verses 6 and 7, you will see that they are similar. And basically what they are saying is they're essentially saying God blesses his people so that his ways may be known through the earth. God blesses his people so that his ways may be known through the earth. Okay, that's the buns. And then we get to the two cheeses. Look at verses 3 and 5. Exactly the same. Here we see the psalmist's desire to see all the people praise God. That the praise of God would be on the lips of all people. Okay? And then we get to verse 4, which is the main point. The patty in the middle. Okay, this is the motivation for missions and for orphan care. Let's read verse 4 together. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations on the earth, Selah. You see, for the psalmist, the end goal, verse 4, is to see joyous worship of God from all the nations. The end goal and what he is after is worship. It's all about worship. And as you've heard the famous phrase by John Piper, missions exist because worship doesn't. The end goal of missions is worship, seeing people worship God. The end goal is for God to be known and to be worshipped. The nations here, when it speaks about the nation, it means ethnicities, the people groups. Okay, it's not, don't just think of South Africa, but think of all the tribes and think of all the people groups within South Africa, all the people groups within a country, and that's what he's speaking about. For all the people to be worshipers of God. The end goal is that all people everywhere would find their greatest joy, their greatest delight in God. For God to be the treasure of all treasures. Like he's the treasure of all treasures for us. That people will see. That every substitute treasure that you can think of cannot satisfy. The end goal is that God would be the joy of all people. And that when God is the joy of all people, what's one of the ways that it is expressed and that it is seen? In singing. Like we did this morning. Great singing this morning. The end goal in orphan care, the end goal in missions, is joy in God. Joyful worship of God. Now, when the orphan and the vulnerable child comes to a place like Bethesda, we know that ultimately, all the food in the world, all the education, the best education, all the clothes, okay, all the Purdue clothes. See, all of us running around with Purdue clothes, isn't there? All the Purdue clothes in the world, all the friends, all the security, none of that can satisfy the longing of their souls. It is only God that can satisfy the longing of their souls. And the psalmist, just like us, have experienced, and maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're a believer, you've trusted God. I want to ask you, I mean, have you experienced this? I've certainly experienced this, that no money, no amount of money, no job, not any job, no family, no friends, no security, not even health can satisfy you. It is only God. All other things are broken systems. Now, if you're not a Christian, maybe you're visiting here today, came with a friend, and you're not a believer, you've not placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what is it that you value? What is it that you value that you believe is going to give you delight and joy and it's going to satisfy you other than God? I want to ask you, how's that going for you? How's that working out for you? I mean, that relationship or that job that you thought was going to satisfy, how's it working out for you? Or has it only left you unsatisfied? Where has worshiping lesser things left you? Think about it. Where has worshiping lesser things left you this morning? You see, God alone is worthy of all our worship and all our affections, and he alone can satisfy us. And listen to this quote from John Piper. I just love this. He says, God is the most worthy person in the universe. His greatness and His value are infinite. All things are measured by Him. He is the beginning and the ending of all things. Every person depends on Him for everything. We owe Him perfect trust and allegiance and love and worship and honor and respect and obedience because He has made us and owns us and sustains us. Therefore, rejecting Him and distrusting Him and disobeying Him and neglecting Him and enjoying other things more than Him, all these are infinite insults because He is an infinite treasure. And an infinite insult or a life of infinite insults deserves infinite punishment. God is worthy of all our worship, and we insult Him by worshiping all these other things and all the other stuff. And therefore, all people will stand before God one day as a judge, and God is a righteous judge. I mean, we see that in verse 4. For you judge the peoples with equity. God is a righteous judge, and he's righteous, meaning that He is fair and He's impartial. Okay, God can't let any sin get away. Now, this is a frightening thought. I don't know about you this morning, but this is a frightening thought to think that you are standing in front of the righteous God. And fear, at this point, should crush you when you understand this, when you get this, that we will all stand before a righteous God who knows all things. And the question is, how are you able to stand before a righteous God? Can you stand before Him? How do you take care of your guilt? Because we're all guilty. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. You see, all of us will stand before Jesus Christ one day, who has been appointed as the judge, who will judge the living and the dead. But you know what? God is a God who sees us in our need, but He doesn't just leave us in our need. God is not just a judge, but God is also a guide. You see, also see that in the passage. God is a guide, and like a shepherd, He guides us to how we can be saved. You can be saved this morning. You need salvation, but that salvation is not by your good works. This salvation is not by coming to church. The salvation is not by any baptism. It is not by anything other than the grace of God towards you, God's blessing towards you. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You know the passage in Ephesians 1 verse 3, I'm going to read it to you. It says, blessed be the God and Father. Praise be to God and Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we praise Him? It says here, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We receive the blessings of God in Christ. If you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, when you are in Him, like Job who prayed, when you are in Christ and you've trusted Him, you receive the blessings of grace. You receive salvation from God. So through trusting Jesus, you have access with God by grace through faith. And He powerfully saves you. Now, the end goal for the psalmist, the end goal that he's thinking about is for us, the end goal for the psalmist is to see all the nations and even the orphan, that they would see the saving power of God and worship Him. Okay, that's verse 4. But how does he get there? How does he get there? Okay, that's the end goal. Well, firstly, it starts with realizing that God has blessed you to be a blessing. Okay, that's the first point. God has blessed you. God blesses His people that His ways may be known through the earth. He blesses you. He saves you for the people. Okay? The psalmist starts with praying for God to bless them as a people. Now, I also want to mention this. If you look at the psalm, he's saying, bless us. In our Baptist circles, you know, if you start praying, Lord, will you bless us today? You know, some people might frown upon you a little. You know, like, what's this guy doing? You know, praying for blessing. I mean, this is crazy. Is this guy in the wrong denomination? Has he joined the Word of Faith movement? I spoke about that this morning. But has this guy lost it? No, but this psalm, the psalmist prays, Lord, bless us. You know, people might think, is it selfish to pray, Lord, bless us? Is it selfish to pray, Lord, bless Bethesda? No, it's not selfish to pray, Lord, bless Bethesda so that we can be a blessing to many children. It is okay to ask God to bless us as long as our desire is for all His blessings to be for His purpose. Do you guys see that? It is, bless us, Lord, so that all the blessings that You bless us will be for Your purpose, for making You known to the nations. God, bless us to make much of You. That's what this is about. Now, let me ask you this. If a child says to his dad, Dad, can you please borrow me the car keys? Can I please drive with your car? I want to go buy you a gift for your birthday. Is that selfish? No. It's not selfish. That child is saying, Dad, will you bless me with the car so that I can make much of you? And that's the attitude that we should have. God, just bless so that we can make much of you. As long as you don't worship the blessings over the one who gives the blessings. Where does all blessings and favor come from? It comes from God. Where else should we look? Who else should we ask? This song was most likely sung during the harvest season. Okay, it was in harvest season. Look at verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. It was harvest season, and they're saying, bless our harvest, Lord. Every blessing is from our sovereign God. Now, let's be honest. So often we stand in front of our little kingdoms, whether it's our family, whether it's our bank balance. It's so small, and you're like, okay, something in the minuses, and we're like, okay. And we stand in front of our bank balances and our ministries even, and our churches and our businesses, maybe even our grades when you're done with matric. And you're standing there in front of your grades, and we can so easily be like King Nebuchadnezzar, and we can say, look at my little kingdom that I have built with my mighty power for my name's sake. Isn't that what we do? But you have built nothing if it wasn't for the grace and the blessing from God. The psalmist uses words similar to the Aaronic priestly prayer, and also Genesis chapter 12, and I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. But if you read Numbers chapter 6, if you read Genesis 12, all of that is God blessing His people. God blessing. Okay? And even in Genesis 12, why does God bless Abram? He says, so that you will be a blessing. In Genesis 12, here we see this global blessing that's going to come through Jesus ultimately. God's going to bless Abram so that ultimately through his seed, all of us sitting here are blessed. It's not just blessing Abram for Abram's sake, but it's for us. God blesses you that blessing would flow through you like a river to others, that you would be a conduit, not a reservoir, okay? Are you a reservoir or are you like a river of God's blessing? You are to steward God's blessings for His fame. This psalm is not just speaking about spiritual blessings, but it's also speaking about physical blessings and other things. But don't lose sight that the blessings of God are never desired apart from a relationship with God. We don't say, God, bless us with your stuff, but we don't love the God of the stuff. Okay? That makes sense. It's about a relationship with God. Make your face shine on us. God, be pleased with us. I loved what one pastor said. He said, what you do, what you have, and who you are is a blessing from God. What you do, what do? That is a blessing from God. Who you are is a blessing from God. You've got gifts, and some of you are skilled in certain areas. That's not yours, okay? It's ultimately God's too. And then, of course, so what you do, What you have and who you are is a blessing from God, not mainly for yourself. Of course, you can enjoy it, okay? You can enjoy those things that God blesses you with, but it's ultimately for God. Your salvation, for God. Your house that you have, for God. Your car, your family, your skills, okay? Some people blessed us yesterday with cake baking at Bethesda. Thank you for using the skills that God has given you, okay? They're all from God to be used for God. Now, what have we been blessed with at Central? I mean, look at this amazing building. Look at this location. God is bringing the nations to us, okay? What are we doing with this? How are we stewarding this building? How are we stewarding this location that God has entrusted to us? We have this building. How have we been blessed so that we can reach Centurion? God has blessed us so we've already been a blessing in Pretoria East. Now God is blessing us so that we can be a blessing in Centurion as we're going to plant a church there. But ultimately, all of this is so that the saving power of God may be known among the nations. Now, first point, God blesses you so that you will be a blessing to others. Okay? Very simple. Second point here, God's people has a desire to see the praise of God on the lips of all people. We should have a desire to see the praise of God on the lips of all people. I remember going on a business trip to Cape Town the one time on my own. And I went up, not up to Table Mountain at that stage, but I just went halfway, okay? I think the queue was too long. But I stood there and I took this beautiful picture of Cape Town, you know, the city and the waterfront. And I was standing there. I was just in awe of this beautiful picture. But I had no one to share it with. And I was standing there, and you know what I did? I phoned my wife. I said, look at how beautiful this is. This is amazing, but I had to show them as well how amazing it is. I couldn't keep it for myself. I couldn't keep what I was seeing for myself. You see, you want others to see what you see so that they can praise what you praise. And when you've seen God and who God is, you want other people to see Him for who He is so that they can praise Him for who He is. The great work that you see is a testimony of the artist, isn't it? And worthy of praise. Another pastor said this, and I just love the way that he said it. He said, the people of God long for the people of the world to join them in the praise of the one true God. Our longing is to see the praise of God on every person's lips. There's this story of this drug dealer. I heard this in a sermon. There was this drug dealer who, they had such a huge drug network, but he came to salvation. And he shared with this pastor, he said, one of their slogans, or one of the things that they said was that, if it has a mouth, then our goal is to get them on our drugs. That's how the drug dealers thought. That's what that was their goal. If it has a mouth, then it was our goal to get them on our drugs. You see, as Christians, we should be thinking, if it has lips, our goal is to get them to praise the Lord. Okay, the person next to you, do they have lips? Okay, I see a lot of lips here. Okay? Not made for kissing, it's made to praise the Lord. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Our goal is to see the praise and the worship on the lips of all people, every single person. They must see Him for the great Savior that He is. He has saved us. He saved us when we didn't deserve salvation. He blessed us when we deserved condemnation. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become a curse for us so that we will receive His righteousness. He alone is worthy. You see, God is not a tribal God. He's worthy to be worshipped by every single person, every tribe. And isn't it great to see so many different people here this morning? Our God, someone has said, the more people, more different kind of people who worship or who like something shows the value of something. See how many different people groups around the world love Jesus? Shows the worth of Jesus. Now, it is not difficult to see the need to care for orphan and vulnerable children. I mean, you know ministries like Bethesda well. You've visited baby homes, maybe in Pretoria. There are many orphan and vulnerable children around us. It is said that in South Africa, there's 2.8 million orphans. Now, that's not double orphans, so that's you're considered an orphan if you lose a mom or a dad, okay? But they say there's about 512,000 double orphans, which means an orphan has lost a mom and a dad. 512,000 lips that we want to see praise Jesus. That's our goal. How will they see the saving power of God through us? Through what we've been blessed with. What do you have in your hand that God has blessed you with? And how are you using that to show the saving power of God to the orphan and the vulnerable? Our motivation, our passion for the fatherless must be motivated by our desire to see God's name be made known among the orphan and the vulnerable child so that they would worship Him. I heard someone say that the greatest tragedy in the world is not what you think. What do you think is the greatest tragedy in the world? The greatest tragedy in the world today is that the one true God is not known and not worship. And therefore, we go out and we go tell them about this one true God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for what you've blessed us with, salvation. And God, we can all think of different skills, and you've blessed us with homes. You've blessed us with so many different things. What do we have in our hands to bring for you to use to make yourself known and your glory and your salvation known to the orphan and the vulnerable child. God, thank you for Central. Thank you for our involvement in so many different ways at Bethesda. God, use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.